This week on the eBay for Business podcast,
I developed a problem with one of my products. It was a door latch for a car. It appeared like the buyers were breaking the part. So eventually they figured out what the problem was and made a short YouTube video about it. And so whenever I sell that product now, I send a link to the video to help them troubleshoot how to install the latch. I find that it gives the buyers confidence in case there are any problems.
I'm Kiyomi Kiyoshi.
I'm Griff, and this, as we said, is the eBay for Business podcast. It's your source for the information and inspiration to help you start, manage, and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. This is episode 296. Welcome back, Kiyomi.
Thank you, Griff.
In your day-to-day activities interacting with sellers on community, I'm assuming that one of the topics that comes up a lot is customer service.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think even within the first week of me starting in this position, I learned how big of a deal that was. And we actually had a thread that was very popular in community this past week on customer service and wanting the ability to indicate hours of operation. And I think this was born out of Memorial Day holiday coming up where a lot of people took Monday off. And so they had a lot of buyers reaching out to them and then they didn't get back to them in what the buyers would say was a timely manner. And so the sellers were looking for a way to be able to indicate like when they're going to reach out to them and when they're actually off.
You can set up time away where you're not actually away, you know, you're doing business, but you can set up time away and they'll put a message up on the top of your listings to say, you know, this seller is away. And even though you're not away, so if you wanted to take the weekend off, that would be one way of doing it.
Yeah, I think some buyers have the misconception that just because the store is available 24/7, they can access it. That means that the seller is on and is also 24/7. And it's like, no, we're all human. We sleep and we have lives outside of our businesses.
Oh dear, I feel guilty. I'll tell you why. I wake up 3 times a night and I always pick up my phone and look and see if I got any messages. And I have answered buyer inquiries at 2 a.m.
Oh, Griff, well then you are like a dream to them. You're setting the standard. This is why.
And that's not the standard we should be setting because people will come at me with pitchforks and torches. Why are you setting this expectation with your buyers?
For everyone, you know who to point the finger at now.
But what we should do, and I know that currently the eBay message system doesn't have this, but we should be able to set up an auto response.
I agree.
Maybe it's something that's coming. We'll keep our fingers crossed. I was just thinking there may be a way around it, and I'm going to experiment with my Gmail account and see if you can do it that way. That way, beyond just putting your hours of operation inside your description, which buyers may never see, alerting people that when you get an email, if there's a way to auto respond and say, hey, thanks for your email. You know, we're closed right now, but our hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. or whatever. So that's something we'll talk about in the future. But going back to customer service,
yes,
it is a topic that if you look back on past episodes, you know, we touched on occasionally. And of course, in our Q&A, we touch on it a lot. We've got a guest this week. His name is David Ng. And he had some customer services best practices he wanted to share. So he sent them to me and I went, oh, okay, well, these are not what we usually talk about. They're very specific and they're a little out of the ordinary. And he's going to come and give us 3 of those. And so we'll hear those in a moment. And before we do that, I need to ask, is there any news?
So it has been a slow news cycle this month. So no news, but we do have 2 reminders and 2 deadlines that you may want to take note of. First, the summer seller check-in takes place on Thursday, June 6th. There's still time to register at sellerevents.ebay.com. And the deadline for filing your up and running grant application is this Friday, June 7th. So don't miss it. We've let sellers know the importance of this and that they have nothing to lose.
Yeah. It's like the lottery. Oh, you don't have to spend a dollar, right?
Exactly. A little better.
You don't submit, you don't win.
There we go.
And it can be life-changing if you're selected, as you've heard from testimonials from past up and running grantees that have come on to the podcast. So yeah, don't put that aside. You've got till the end of this week. So make sure you do it. Well, thanks for the reminders. We have 2 questions this week, so stick around for those as well. They'll come towards the end. One is a question about, well, it's a multi-part question and there's various aspects to it, but the one that's going to stick out is something called seller reports, which we've never talked about. It's a way of bulk uploading listings. And then the other question, it's about feedback. And I have to be honest, normally we don't take questions about feedback, but this particular one is about ratings. And I thought it was worth addressing because it gives us the opportunity to talk about those detailed seller ratings for like communication, shipping, item price, item description, And then also we have a correction. So I made an error last week in one of the answers to a question, and somebody pointed it out to me, thank you. And so I said, oh, yes, we'll correct that. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. You'll have to listen.
Ooh, wait till the end.
If you want to see me writhe at your feet in a frenzy of self-abasement for getting it wrong, you'll have to wait till the end of the podcast.
Which we all do. So we'll see you there.
Oh my. Hell, you cut me to the quick. All right. I'll see you in a little bit. Thanks, Naomi. Let's talk to David. A seller's customer service effectiveness is never tested when everything goes right with a transaction. It's only really tested when things go wrong. Our guest this week is eBay seller David Ng, and David sells on eBay under the store name Autolatch. David has some practical advice for you to help you manage transactions that, well, for whatever reason, may go wrong. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me, Griff. I'm excited to be here.
So I know you brought some examples. How many did you bring?
I have roughly three examples, but if it ends up being more than that, we can talk. We chatted a little bit before in the pre-show, and there are some other things that we can talk about as well. But yes, okay. I have about three.
Well, and are these examples from your actual experience selling on eBay?
Yes, directly related to my personal experience and the way I've evolved with my doing customer service on eBay.
So let's not waste any time. What's your first example?
Okay, my first example, Griff, I call it proactive customer service. I developed a problem with one of my products. It was a door latch for a car, and it wasn't working properly. And I was starting to get returns in it. It appeared like the buyers were breaking the part. Because I test these, a lot of these that I send out, and it was working when I sent it. And so I just couldn't figure it out. So eventually I figured out what the problem was and made a short YouTube video about it. And so whenever I sell that product now, I send a link to the video to help them troubleshoot how to install the latch, and also to let me know if they have any questions. Say, I tested it, try this, take a look at this video, and let me know if you have any questions during installation. And I think that is helped me to give proactive emails. I got this idea from Casey Yardley. He was on the podcast.
Sure. We love Casey.
And he sat with me at eBay Open a few years ago and gave me that idea. It initially sounded like a big ask, which is to send out emails. But I find that it really gives the buyers confidence that they can reach out to me, that I'm open to chatting with them in case there are any problems.
So it was all about installation. It wasn't actually quality of the product.
No, the product was fine. But there was a trick to the installation that over time, you know, the car has developed a problem and that the part needs to be adjusted.
So have you seen your rate of item defective returns? Has that gone down since then?
Yes, that has gone down. And this is an ongoing project, so I have to do this for more products, do the same type of video for more products. But it makes it interesting. I'm looking forward to when eBay can give more video time, because we can add videos to the eBay listings now. So I'm looking forward to when we'll have more than just a minute and I can actually put the video right there on the listing.
So I have a question you probably weren't expecting. Because to me, if you're going to put up a YouTube video, it's also an opportunity to lead people back to your store to buy the product.
Yes, exactly. I actually have affiliate links running because some of these products I can't get stocked regularly. So I have them just go to eBay with a part number to try to find either myself or another seller that has it.
I love that. So it's a closed commerce loop.
Yes. I haven't made my first sale yet through the affiliate link, but that will be a celebration when that starts to happen. And then I suspect that it will happen at some point and take off from there.
So if you need a new door latch and you need to know how to install it, check out Auto Latch on eBay. There you go. Promotions always coming.
Thanks, Griff.
What's your second example?
Okay. The second example is I've gotten a couple of negative feedbacks over the last couple of months. One just happened this past weekend, and it was kind of a complex situation. It was through the eBay International Shipping Program. I sent it up to Canada. The product was one of those products, a heater control. I can't test it because it came out of a car that was already disabled. So the buyer in Canada got the money back through the international process, but then left me a negative feedback. So I sent them an email to say, hey, I can ship you up a replacement part. I happen to have one. It's not always possible to do that, but I happen to have an extra one, you know, in my stock. And I didn't hear anything back from them, but the last ditch effort is to submit a feedback revision request to ask them to refine it. And I said the same thing. I'm willing to ship a replacement part at my cost up to you, you know, direct. And you obviously will have both units that you can troubleshoot your issue with. And they revised their feedback and I shipped up the item. I hadn't heard back from the buyer. And I'm glad the situation worked out okay on that one.
Yeah.
The second one happened over the weekend. which just happens with, you know, a negative feedback, but I ask the buyer to, you know, send it back. And then since in the US I have seller paid returns or free return shipping for the buyers, that got sucked into the enhanced seller protection. So when I refunded the buyer the money, the negative feedback came off automatically. And that's something that I just love to keep that 100%, you know, and I think it gives people a lot of confidence to buy from you when they see that you handle things. And because if a seller doesn't have 100%, you do check those negative feedbacks and see what style they are. And a lot of times if the sellers respond to it and it seems reasonable to what happened in the situation.
We know that buyers check those out. Those are the most important thing to them is not so much negative feedback, but how a seller responds. That is more indicative to them of the commitment to customers that seller has.
Yes, the level of confidence that they can go into buying from that seller.
Well, there's two examples. Now, your third example.
Okay, your third example. Well, yeah, this one is, and this might not be the case for everyone, but for me, you know, I think I see this more around the holidays, but I do see it time to time during the year. The package shows as delivered, but you get an email from the buyer saying, I don't have the package. I don't know where it is. So I developed a script. I have it written out like a template that I wrote. If you have a typical problem that you get over and over again, it's good to write a template out that helps you keep things positive, helps things be phrased the right way in your response to the buyer. But what I usually say is something to the nature of, it's hard for me to troubleshoot this one from here. Check with your mail carrier or the local post office. They have a GPS scan of where the package was left. Check with your neighbors. Perhaps it was left on one of their doorsteps. Last time I got this, one of the neighbors brought the package over a couple of days later. And then ultimately, they can open a item not received case. And we know when we have a delivery scan that the sellers are protected.
Yeah. And a lot of times eBay, depending on the situation, will actually refund out of eBay's pocket.
Yes, that makes sense. So that was pretty much the third situation. I like having those templated responses because I've done phone customer service before, and sometimes you don't phrase things correctly to the person on the phone. But when you're doing email correspondence, you can really be careful about how you're writing back and make sure everything is buttoned up tight and positive.
Yeah. I've heard another seller say that over a certain value, they will put in their initial message to a buyer that make sure that your delivery location is secure. If not, I can always put signature confirmation on this, depending on your particular situation. And I've always thought that kind of consideration shown proactively, again, indicates to a buyer that this guy's really out looking for my best interest as well. So this is a good seller.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
All of this being said, you put all of these into play for yourself, as well as many others, I'm sure. And how has that helped your business on eBay, even just from a performance standard?
You know, I think we pulled this up in the pre-show. I have below average, not as described, returns for my category. And I think that when I read through my feedbacks, people are very happy with, you know, a lot of times I can ship the same day. So they're happy that they get their items a little earlier than the estimate.
We should say that when you say below average, you're below the percentage. It's right. Not that you're below average.
Well, right, not on below average. So.
Right. That for every category has a percentage rate based on your peers of returns. And if you're below that rate, you're doing pretty well.
Yes. Yes. So
it's not that you're below average. We just want to make that clear. Well, David, I want to thank you very much. This has been very helpful. If you have issues with your buyers and you've seen high rates of either some negative feedback or dissatisfaction or INRs, these are some of the things that you can keep in mind. I think to David's point, I think you'll agree with me, David, that being proactive is always the best course of action.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And it shows in your feedback and in your top rated.
Yes, yes, it does. And yeah, I'm very thankful for that. Any minute it can change, but there are things that protections in place from eBay.
Sure.
As well as being proactive.
Well, David, as always, thank you so much. I know you've been on Seller Spotlight, and we're very happy to have you on our podcast as well. Continued success to you.
Thank you, Griff.
David Ng sells on eBay under the store name AutoLatch. Go check it out. If you need a door latch, this is the place not only to get the latch, but you'll get a video showing you how to install it. What could be better?
You've got questions.
We've got answers. Correct answers, in fact.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Oh, brother. Our first question, Kaomi, is actually multi-part. Sometimes sellers will send us an email that has more than one question. It was sent in by a seller named Joe. And of course, as we always do, would you do the honors of reading it?
I would love to. Joe writes, Griffin Kiyomi, I have a goal of becoming a top seller this month. Is there a way to see how close the store is to becoming top seller?
That's a good first question. Yeah, there is a way to see it, Joe. If you go to Seller Hub, and you can get there by hovering over the My eBay link and then selecting the link for selling, it takes you right to Seller Hub. And if you hover your mouse over the Performance tab, you can select an option that says Seller Level. This will tell you where you are right now. I'm assuming you're above average. And if you are above average, it'll show how close you are to becoming top rated. You can open up all the different sections and it'll show you what numbers you need to reach in order to become top rated. If you're below standard, it's the same thing. It'll tell you what you should be doing to get above standard. Hopefully no one's below standard. So yeah, that's where you can find out how you're doing. And if you're top rated, it'll also show you if it's at risk. So you would visit that page to see, hey, is my top rated seller status at risk? So I pride myself, not that it matters, but I always have no dings, no nothing. It's always 0, 0, 0, and I've been top rated. And a couple of weeks ago, I let it slip my mind that there were two packages I needed to ship, and I got them labeled, but I didn't get them shipped to the next day. So now my on-time shipping has a 0.51 defect.
Oh, shame on you.
Yeah, I won't do that again.
Knock on wood. Well, that's a great goal to set, Joe, so best of luck. Joe continues, is there a way to search my listings for listings with a title containing SW? The standard search appears to only work for 4+ characters. Does the search allow for wildcards such as asterisks? Joe, as you may have discovered, keyword searches need at least one word with a minimum of 4 characters.
And years ago, we actually did have asterisks that were wildcards as an option. You could say SW and asterisk, and it would bring back everything that started with SW, regardless of what the rest of the text string was. But that was sunsetted as a search option, I want to say at least 10 years ago.
Well, it's good to know. A little history lesson for me. Joe also continues, I have 200 distinct minifigures that I want to get listed. What are the disadvantages of loading them in bulk with a formulated title, photo, standardized description, and a price unlikely to be below market? Then working through each, fixing the listing over time.
Well, I love this question because I immediately thought there is a tool available in Seller Hub that will provide this very feature for you. It's a simplified version of an old tool that if you've been on eBay for a long time, you may remember called File Exchange. So you can find it if you go to Seller Hub and then under the Reports tab, look for a link called Uploads. And here are the steps to get started. So what you'll be able to do is select a template. And you select a type of template, it's called template source. You can choose listings or orders. You want to choose listings. You'll be prompted to select a type. Now, here's what you want to do. You want to select create new drafts. Then follow the instructions from there for downloading the template and then filling it out. You can then upload these as drafts. And then later, you can go in and edit each draft at your discretion, and when you're ready, you can list them. And you can do this either individually, manually, or you can list them in part or all in bulk, and that's using the bulk edit feature in Seller Hub. If you've never used it before, it's a really quick way for doing a lot of listings that you have ready. So it makes sense if you think about the workloads that a lot of people have. Some sellers have just enough time where they want to do all of this listing in one day, so they don't have to worry about it over a period of time. And filling out this template is rather easy. It's actually a lot easier than when it was File Exchange. And this is a great way to accomplish what you want to do.
Yeah, great tip. Griff, it sounds like there are a lot of sellers who aren't aware of this quick bulk upload feature.
Yeah, I think you may be right. And so hopefully at least our audience is now aware of it.
Okay, Joe's next comment. Why would anyone not use a thermal printer? I have one that I keep in my storage unit where I ship orders from and one at home, just in case I want to print a label. By my calculation, it costs less than 1 cent to print a label. My $50 thermal printer saves time and money every day.
Well, Joe, come on, you're preaching to the choir. I know I haven't used it as a come on since the days of Brian, but yeah, I've been pushing the idea of thermal printers forever. They just make a lot of sense.
If we didn't know that this came from Joe, I would fully believe that you wrote this because it sounds like an ad for thermal printers and why someone should use one.
Okay, cross my hat, hope to die.
Okay.
I did not write this. It's actually Joe, and I did not prompt him to do it, so.
You all can't see, but I'm giving Griff a bit of a side eye.
Yeah, I saw that. Thank you.
And finally, Joe ends off with an odd one. I would love to hear a podcast on challenges running a store from locations without electricity, internet, or other essentials.
What?
Yeah, okay. Running my store from a storage unit has presented interesting challenges. Joe Van Norman, JVN E-commerce LLC.
I thought I'd heard it all, but there's always something new.
I thought this was going to feed into all of our weather mishaps we've been happening. And so I thought he was proposing like, hey, for those people affected, maybe teach them how to do this without electricity, internet, or other essentials. But no, this was a conscious decision that Joe's making on his behalf.
He's listing from a storage unit. So this is the first, Joe, I would have absolutely no idea how one would run a business online from a storage unit without electricity, internet, or other essentials. We would need to find someone who actually does run a store from a storage unit. For example, maybe you. If you would like to come on and talk about it, let me know. podcast@ebay.com. I am not quite sure how many people actually operate in those conditions, storage unit or cave or hovel in the middle of the woods, but perhaps it's something that would be of interest. So yeah, if you want to talk about it, Joe, let me know.
I mean, I want to see how many other sellers out there are operating like this.
Oh, I hope it's not a lot. I know it's hard to believe. We're still a first world country.
To my knowledge.
I think you could do it if you wanted to spend a little money. If you had some sort of power source, right? Because you need power to get onto the internet. And if you don't have like Wi-Fi or cellular where you can connect, you could get one of those Elon Musk satellite dishes and hook that up. And then I suppose the other essentials being things like a printer, hook that up to your power unit or your power source. Maybe it's a solar panel. Who knows?
Possibly.
And then in the other essentials, well, I'm assuming that you're bringing food, water, and, you know, facilities that one needs during the day. I've heard of people trying to live in storage units, but they usually get caught and thrown out. But yeah, it could be interesting. Joe, let us know if you want to talk about it.
Well, our next question was sent in by seller Will. He writes, Kayomi and Griff, buyer feedback question for you.
Oh, brother.
I know. Big grimace. After a buyer purchases my product, he or she is prompted to numerically rate 4 aspects of the experience. Accurate description, shipping costs, and communication are, in my opinion, good and reasonable things for a buyer to rate. Shipping speed is mostly out of my control, though, given that my listings are set up so the buyer selects the shipping service and how quickly the item gets to the buyer is out of my hands once I have it in the post office or UPS. The narrow silver of the shipping speed that is in my control is how much time passes between the order being paid and the shipper receiving it. I'm sure every seller has experienced buyers who are frustrated with USPS delays, and as an eBay buyer, I sympathize with them, but I don't want shipper delays to impact my shipping speed rating. Are there any plans to tweak that rating? Perhaps to specify to buyers that their rating should solely reflect the seller's speed getting the package into the post office's hands. Sincerely, Will, and his source, Santone Supply.
Well, thanks for the question, Will. And as I said, we usually don't take feedback questions, but this is a rating question, so
we'll make an exception.
Yeah, why not? So there are no plans to quote unquote tweak this particular rating. And the reason being is that these are not impactful. They have no impact on your seller status. And note, it actually says on the rating itself, shipping time, with a line underneath it that says item shipped and then the date shipped. For example, I'm looking at one that I took a screenshot. It says shipping time. The item shipment was Tuesday, May 21st, which would have been the day after. So that's as much as we're going to provide in the way of that particular rating. We're not going to add anything to that. Something to keep in mind, as I said before, these ratings, which are known historically as DSRs or detailed seller ratings, they're not used to determine anything about a seller's performance level. They used to a long time ago, and it was a real hot topic at eBay, but that stopped, I think, in 2014. My advice to sellers, don't waste valuable time worrying about these ratings. They're subjective and do not impact your status. However, something else to think about, though, if your package is shipped through one carrier, are chronically late in arriving at a buyer's location, for whatever reason, my advice is to consider using a different carrier. Now, I've had very little of delays using Ground Advantage from my location on the West Coast, so I continue to use it. If I suddenly were seeing a lot of delays, I would immediately switch my shipping option over to something like UPS or FedEx. If it's important for you as a seller to indicate to your buyers that you get packages to them quickly, if your carrier of choice is falling down on the job, yeah, that's not quote unquote your fault. Buyers don't care. You as a business selected and provided that service as an option. So if it's an issue, then you stop providing that option. Like I said, here on the West Coast, we're not having that issue. I know some places like hubs like in Atlanta and other places along the East Coast, this has been an issue. I don't know what the status of it is now. Hopefully it's improving. But it's an important thing to keep in mind. And that rating has no impact, but it might be a good signal to you that, hey, I'm getting a lot of dissatisfied buyers. I need to think about changing up my shipping until this straightens out at USPS. So I said we have one correction to an answer we gave last week, and it was regarding the custom label /SKU label. I stated that the buyer's zip code is not provided in an offer a buyer sends. That is not correct. It used to be the case, but we changed this apparently a while ago. The incoming offer from a buyer now does contain that buyer's zip code. So just a correction there. Okay. That's our show for this week, by the way.
And if you have any questions for us here at the eBay for Business podcast, we would love to hear it. You can either call it in at 888-723-4630 or email it to us at podcast@ebay.com.
Now it's time for the new feature, Tip of the Week. And this week's Tip of the Week was sent in by seller Kurt. He says, don't be cheap on packaging. First impressions are almost as important as what you ship. Buy new boxes. I don't think people want to see boxes for medical devices. And I've seen worse as a buyer, so I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, great tip. Did you miss something in this episode? No worries. You can check the transcript for this and all episodes for any follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, we're going to talk to a seller from the Bay Area. His name is Richard Cash. He has a very interesting sourcing business, and he's going to share what that is. It's how you can source products to sell on eBay that are surplus, and you get these from government agencies, and it's not as difficult as you might think, and you can do this right in your own location, wherever you are across the United States. We'll go into some depth about that.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, eBay seller David Ng.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Hey, Kaomi, have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, you too.